Hey, you know how in those Cialis commercials they say if you're aroused for more than 4 hours, you should probably see a doctor? That's how I'm feeling right about now. Might need to head to the ER. Hello, and welcome to the CultCast, the best 30-minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. I'm your host, Airfun Elijah. We're coming off hot from the October 22nd Apple event. I'm joined today by one of my favorite people, Leander Caney. I was trying to decide whether I was going to say you or Buster. It was such a hard decision. And one of my other favorite people, Buster Caney, is here with us.
Hey, man.
And we're also joined by Adam Christensen, one of my favorite people from the MacCast podcast, one of my favorite podcasts. Welcome back, Adam.
Hey, thanks for having me back again.
Yeah, you bet. I know you've had a busy day. I saw you on the Twitch Network Live.
Yes,
you were great.
Mac Break.
Yes, thank you. On Mac Break Weekly, and you were great on that show. And I know you're preparing for your podcast as well.
I got to do all the podcasts. Today's podcast.
You're going to be going on like the Martha Stewart podcast later.
Although I'm not, I don't know if you guys know Jeff Gamet from Mac Observer, but he's a podcast whore.
Does he just go on all of them?
Yeah.
We haven't had him here. Do you think he'd come on?
He totally would. In a heartbeat.
And Jeff's a funny guy. He's got a good sense of humor.
Yeah, oh, does he really? Awesome. Oh, man. Well, he might work perfect.
Plus, he doesn't
show.
Wear pants.
Well, so. Well, now we must have him on. Yeah. It'll fit right in. My gosh. I want to start with this question to you guys. So we got updated MacBook Pros today. We got two new iPads today, the iPad Air, the iPad Mini. We got a new version of iWork, a new version of iLife, and Mavericks now shipping. Oh, and by the way, we also got the Mac Pro. Am I missing anything? Is that pretty much everything that was talked about today? Yes?
Thanks.
Yeah.
Okay. Just want to make sure I wasn't missing something.
I'm going through my mental checklist going,
are you guys...
something we left out. But
there probably is, but those are all the important
things.
That
was what was announced. Yeah, that's what they talked about at the actual event.
Okay, good.
Sure, there's background stuff that we maybe missed.
Sure, but we'll have all week to cover that stuff. So let me ask you guys this. Are you guys satiated? Are you happy with what was announced? I know Tim Cook said back a few months ago an army of products was coming. That's how I certainly felt. It was just one thing after another. Adam, let's start with you. How are you feeling?
I'm exhausted.
You've been smoking all day?
Before. I mean, I call this Apple... this is Apple product barf, and we've gotten to the point now where it's all at the end of the year. But yeah, no, there were a few surprises actually. The name I thought was kind of surprising, and the
iPad Air. You
yeah,
mean? Yes.
They kind of let the air out of the room, if I can use a really bad pun. But I mean, like when they said the name, it was really weird. The audience just kind of went, huh? Yeah.
It was awkwardly silent for a few moments there.
And I guess it makes sense now that I've been watching some of the video reviews and stuff like that. I guess it's incredibly, incredibly light. And I mean, at 1 pound, you would expect it to be.
Yeah, yeah.
So it makes sense that they would go with that name, I guess, to kind of leverage the MacBook Air branding. But I didn't think anything was wrong with iPad with Retina display either, although that was a little bit too long. I think they should have just went with iPad.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but iPad Air, I think they've had this problem, though, because like last year they had the new iPad, right? And people going, well, what do you mean? Is that the iPad 4?
Yeah, true.
So, you got to get it. And it's actually quite a clever name when you think about it. You know, it really reinforces the fact that it's really light. and of course, it opens up the possibility of the iPad Pro. iPad Max.
iPad being something else.
Yeah. I think Pro is better than Maxi.
the maxi iPad. Well, since we're talking about iPads, let's just start there. So not really a whole lot of surprises here. We pretty much got what we've been talking about for months now. We had a updated iPad Mini, which came with a Retina screen, which we were expecting. Now, the part that surprised me is the A7 processor going into the iPad Mini, and the original iPad Mini sticking around, but having its price dropped from, I think, $329 to $299. So now we have two iPad Minis, the regular one that was around for a while, and then the iPad Mini Retina, which is now $399. And so pretty much there's a parity now, hardware-wise, between the iPad mini and the iPad Air. My brain's going, what do I call these things? Because they just came out. And so it's kind of cool because now you really are only making decision based upon what screen size you want. You're right, not making any hardware size. Sacrifices.
Yeah, right.
Are you guys
really confusing me?
Is it really?
Yeah, because I thought going into it, I'm gonna get the full size, you know, the full size iPad because that's gonna have the beefier processor I want for that. And I love my mini, but I can maybe live without the Retina display. But I really like the size of the mini. It's my favorite iPad. So now I've got like the best of all worlds on both models. It's like, oh crap, I gotta buy both now.
That's gonna make it easier for you though, right? Because now it's like the iPad mini. Why would you go with, if that's your favorite iPad, why would you go with the bigger one?
Why would I go with the bigger one? I like the bigger screen for productivity. You know, if I'm going to be like taking notes and actually kind of doing, I like the extra screen real estate to do that stuff on. And the fact that it's only 1 pound, from everything I'm hearing from the hands-on, people are saying it's incredibly light. Like it feels like almost like the original iPad mini when you first picked it up. I'm trying to remember the weight on the iPad mini right now.
It's 0.67 pounds.
0.67. So you're talking, you know, 0.3 pounds heavier. I think that's noticeable. Yeah, I would imagine it is, but still a heck of a lot lighter than what it was.
See, I was coming from the other direction, Adam. I was thinking, oh man, I really want to get an iPad mini because I love the size. Mm-hmm. I want something that's more portable, but I don't want to get something that has last year's tech in it, right? And I thought for sure they're going to put the A6 in there. And I wasn't sure if it was getting Retina. So now it came out, and even though it's $60 more expensive, I'm like, oh my gosh, this actually it's $60. That math doesn't work. $71 more expensive. Yeah. Now I'm like, oh my gosh, I know exactly what I'm getting, even though it's kind of more money than I wanted to spend, because I always get the 32 gigabyte version. So now I'm spending $500 on an iPad again. I was really hoping to have to only spend $400.
And I gotta get this. I'm moving at probably the 64 from my mini is my favorite thing to watch movies on, and I'm buying more
than your regular iPad.
Oh yeah,
really?
Yeah. Again, because of the weight. Now that may change with this new one, but when I'm laying in bed or whatever, it was much easier to hold the mini, and it's so close to your face anyway. You know, it's like having a, you know, I don't know, 80-inch screen because it's 2 inches from my head, right? So, yeah, I don't end now with the Retina display. So I'm all conflicted. I'm just gonna buy both.
Yeah,
and then I'm looking at the pricing. I'm like, well, between AppleCare and tax and stuff like that, I'm gonna spend $1,800 on iPad.
Oh my gosh,
that's insane. I can't do that. You know, so then I'm back going, I gotta cut down to just one.
Yeah, I know. I hear you. I was like, maybe I should get two and then figure out which one I want, and then I'll just return the one I don't want. But that's never gonna happen. You know, you're gonna find a way to keep both of them. You know, you'll talk yourself into it. Let's talk about the iPad Air, which used to be the iPad Retina. Now it's the iPad Air. So, precursor, iPad 2 sticking around, still at $399, which I thought was an interesting decision. I guess they want to have an option for people who just don't want Retina.
It's an insane decision.
Do you think so?
The iPad 2?
It's really old tech to be charging
$399. It's generations old, and it's only $100 less.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can get a refurbished iPad 4 with a Retina display for cheaper than a brand new iPad 2.
No, really?
Yeah. So why? I mean, I'm wondering if they kept it around for maybe educational, like the education market.
That's what's being thrown around, yeah.
So that's the only reason I can think of why they would. But
isn't that the list price as well, like in quotes? So you know, retailers can discount it if they can find room to.
I'm not sure.
Because Walmart was selling the 5C right for $50.
Right.
Which is less than it was supposed to be going for. So,
but Walmart's taking the hit on that. That's not like an Apple discount at all.
Yeah. I think the vertical really makes a lot of sense. It's the vertical markets that it's probably sticking around for. I think Renee Ritchie pointed out that the iPad 2 actually performance-wise is better than the iPad 3, for example, because it just didn't have the horsepower. So they would have had to have gone probably with the iPad 4 at the discounted rate, but then you've got the Thunderbolt connector in there, or the Lightning connector, excuse me. And the thing is if you're looking at schools or think of enterprise situations, a lot of those applications, they have like dedicated hardware and a lot of stuff that uses the 30 pin. So Apple probably wanted to stick with the 30 pin for those kind of vertical market schools. You know, think about all the charging equipment that they have and the carts, and there's all the stuff that surrounds the ecosystem that relies on that. So in those verticals, I'm thinking medical, I'm thinking, you know, so you got hospitals that bought a ton of these, you got big enterprises that bought, you know, hundreds of these things.
Airlines.
Add more. Yeah. And so when you start looking at it that way, you're like, okay, that's probably the markets they're keeping it around for mostly. And then they just want to simplify things and not have a bunch of different ones in the lineup. So.
Apple's got to be making a fortune on those, though. There's no way the cost on those is
more ridiculous.
Than like $8.
It's ridiculous. But then again, you know, and buying in volume, too, I'm sure they can heavily discount them. And I know you can do, if you're going direct through educational sales or I know they have science, I think they have government and science and tech, you know, divisions that'll sell, you know, work out big deals. So I'm sure if you wanted to get a deal and those were the ones that you needed for those. You know, market vertical reasons, then you probably will get some money off.
Hey, let me back up for a moment, guys. iPad mini again. I tried to pre-order one today and I couldn't. They said they're going to be available in November, later in November. And does anyone know when these things actually get released?
November 1st.
No.
And they're not going to be sold on the internet, I guess, right?
Not
at least not for a while.
No, there's no pre-orders.
I just want to group all my stuff into one order so that there's less pain. I don't want to extend the pain. I'm spending thousands of dollars. Oh. It's like I just want to get it over with.
Wait, and I confused. The iPad Air is November 1st, excuse me. The Mini, they just said late November. They haven't even given a date for.
Okay, so sometime in November.
Yeah, and I'm talking about the
Mac Pro is like December, right?
Yeah.
31st.
You can buy an iPad Mini right now.
Yeah, you know, the regular one, right?
The one that they're already selling at a discount. Yeah, but the Mini with Retina display. Like, we just got to be clear. They said late November or something like that, I think is the date they gave.
Okay, so it'll be interesting to see when those actually go on sale.
Later,
just in November.
So it's not even late November. It's just later, which I'm assuming it means in reference to versus the iPad Air, which is November 1st. So anytime after November 1st, they could just say, okay, here they are.
You know, it's like, when are these going on? So, you know, later. In November, maybe. Just sometime later. Not now. Not today. We'll let you know. You know, we know you'll save your cash. Okay, iPad Air. So as we talked about earlier, kind of a strange name. No one was expecting that. And right off the bat, it's a pound. The old iPad was 1.44 pounds, so significant reduction in weight. And I guess one of the ways they're able to accomplish this is the A7 processor is so power efficient. They were actually able to shrink the battery and keep the same battery life because it just doesn't use as much power. It's about 2 millimeters thinner than the previous version iPads. I know that probably means nothing, especially to the people here in the U.S., the old iPad was, I think, 9.5 millimeters thick. And let me see here. What else do I got? Feel free to pipe in here anytime, guys. 2x graphics performance. I almost said
M7 chip.
M7.
Yeah. Oh, it does have the M7. Okay.
Yeah.
It's got MIMO Wi-Fi, which is just multi-directional, multi-antenna Wi-Fi.
Yeah, two antennas. So it'll be faster on the throughput.
But still using the N-Spec, no 802.11 AC, which I think is curious. I was hoping that this would be the first
device
to get it.
Kind of power hungry.
Is it?
From what I understand, yeah.
Aha. A better camera with larger megapixels, which hopefully will mean better low-light photography. So I think the big story here is obviously the weight. And there's been a lot of speculation that this is using Sharp's IGZO display, which we've talked about a ton on past shows, which essentially allows the screen to let more light shine through, which is what enables the better battery life. What helps with better battery life. 10-hour battery life, $499, still available in white, silver, black, and space gray. This ships November 1st. Okay, so this one is the one that's available. But you can't pre-order, right? This is the one
that you have to... No pre-orders. It says in-store and available online November 1st. So they're doing that same thing they did with the 5S, which is really annoying to me.
No Touch ID. I know some of our listeners have been tweeting me, and they were upset about this. Does this bug you guys? I mean, I actually never really thought about it.
A lot.
Yeah, totally. Doesn't it bug you?
Well, I'm still using the lowly iPhone 5, so I have yet to introduce Touch ID into my life. It's probably like not going to Retina and then having everyone be disappointed when something comes out and it's not Retina. I just, I guess because I haven't lived with it, I don't know what I'm missing.
It's not so much that. It's kind of future-proofing the thing, I think, right? You know, because it's going to have, it doesn't have this year's tech. So when they expand the touch sensor out to do more things, you know, especially e-commerce, you know, this iPad's going to be left behind.
Well, now I think this iPad Air is basically a piece of trash. I don't think I want it anymore.
No, it's awesome. But the thing, again, getting back to that sort of purchase confusion, I'm in this place now where I'm with Leander on that. You know, it's sort of like you want that tech in there because you know the next version's going to have it now. So like, do I really want to, you know, invest a bunch of money in two iPads knowing that I'm going to have to buy a new one next year? And I probably will because I'm in the crazy position where I'll buy a new one every year no matter what because I'm just like that. But for you know, the average person, especially if you're a tech nerd and you're into this stuff, it would kind of give you pause. It's like, well, I can maybe get by with my iPad 3 or 4 for another year.
I think that's, you know, the tech nerd's going to buy it anyway, and the average person, there's a lot of people who, like, I saw a lot of action on Twitter today. I mean, a lot of people really are excited about it, and they are saying, you know, it's about time I upgrade my iPad 1, my original iPad. And I saw that a lot, you know, and there was who was it? The Guardian had an article this morning where they had a bunch of their journalists, you know, and these are, like, tech journalists who you think would be in that crowd of people who get a new device every year, but they were, you know, a lot of those guys were saying, yeah, it's about time.
I get it. Tech journalists? I don't think they don't have the salaries to upgrade every year.
Especially in England, that's true, I know. Yeah. It's most of the time in the pub.
They get to, like, touch it for a day, and then they have to give it back.
But it's, you know, this is sort of typical Apple, right? You know, if you had last year's model, it's an incremental upgrade from what came previously, but if you could look at it in isolation and not compare it to what came before, you go, oh my God, this is an awesome tablet. Super light, super long battery life, amazing chip in it, you know, super fast. It's a gorgeous piece of hardware.
That's how I feel about it. I mean, I think it looks incredible. And it's a really hard decision going mini because it just looks like such an amazing thing. And my big problem with the iPad has always been how much it weighs. I have the iPad 3, and it has the LTE radio in it, and it just weighs with the case on. I know this sounds silly. It weighs a lot. It feels like it weighs.
Sounds silly.
Yeah, you're right.
It's a legitimate. Anybody who owns one, it sounds silly from people who don't maybe own one or you know don't have one. Maybe they have a smaller. Android tablet or something like that, you know, but with the full size tablets, if you're holding them and you're, you know, trying to get work done, the weight comes into play at a certain point. I mean, I can usually go for about an hour or so and it doesn't really bother me, but any more than that, you know, you got to get it down on a table. If you're really trying to hold it or even just hold it up to watch movies, like I said, that's why I've kind of gravitated towards my mini for doing any book reading or movie stuff.
Well, see, that's the big thing for me, too, is the book reading, especially when I'm on the bus. I don't want to tote around an iPad on a bus and then open up. I have, like, a folio case, which you have to open up, like, the cover. And it's just one huge, you know, giant cover, and you have to fold it back. And it's just – you feel like a dork on a bus using one of those things. It's giant, especially with all, like, the all-encompassing cases that they sell nowadays, which themselves weigh a pound. And then you toss the iPad in there. I think it's just too much. So for me, it was like Retina is what I'm doing. And I'm going to sell my iPad 3. It's probably only worth like $4 or $5 now.
I only use smart covers. No, I mean, actually, I was pricing that out because I'll be selling mine. But,
oh, really?
You know, $230 to $250 just the reseller, re-commerce sites. And I'm sure if you sold it private, you could get a lot more for it.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's my plan.
Nice.
iPad Air also getting the A7. I don't think we mentioned that, which is important information. So interesting decision there. We were thinking maybe an A7X, but no, I guess the A7 is so powerful that it can power both of these tablets.
That's really, I mean, that's a big deal. Now Apple has the same processor in the iPhone, you know, and both iPads. And they're all 64-bit, and they made a big deal about the apps, you know, the Apple's apps going 64-bit, and that really makes it easy for them to do all the way across the board now. So I thought that was actually significant and hasn't been talked about too much, is that Apple is now standardized on the one chipset across, you know, a big part of their product lineup.
That's a great point. That is a great point. And hopefully that will make it easier for developers to build their apps as well, since there's not going to be like this fragmentation. I think that's probably it on the iPads. Do we have anything else?
One interesting thing to mention, I think, is that T-Mobile.
Oh, yeah.
Free data deal.
Do tell.
Well, they're offering, if you look at the, if you go to the Apple store.apple.com and you go and price out the iPad you want, you choose the memory, and then you say you want, you know, Wi-Fi and cellular, and then it gives you a list of all the plans. And so AT&T and Sprint, you know, will give you like a gig's worth of data a month for $15, and I think, or maybe 500 megabytes. And then Verizon's is $20 for a gig, but T-Mobile will give you 200 megabytes for free.
Wow. That's very cool.
It is very cool, especially if they stick with it. I mean, because, you know, like the data plan is always like, I pay for the data plan, but I rarely use it. And I always keep on forgetting to cancel it. You know, it's one of those things you gotta cancel. And so I'm paying $30 a month to Verizon for this data plan I barely use. But the T-Mobile one now, I'm looking at that and I'm going, yeah, that'd be perfect for me. Because, you know, I 200 megabytes would definitely cover it. And if I needed to, you know, to have a bit more data, I'd happy pay, you know, 1 month subscription. And I think that makes a big, big difference. You know, they're just new. They're just getting the iPad, aren't they, for the first time this year with this model?
I believe so, yeah.
So I think it's the first time they'd offered it. And they're doing some, you know, I think they're really leading the pack with all the, you know, on the, with the data plans. You know, they're doing the same thing with the phones. You know, their phone plans are much better than most of the other carriers. You know, month-to-month contracts, you know, no two-year plans. And this one's really like interesting. You know, I think a lot of people will go for that.
I think that's a great idea because, I mean, I have the LTE radio in my iPad. I never use it because I don't want to pay for data since I'm already freaking paying for data. You know, I'm paying for it on my phone. I don't want to pay them again to access the data that I'm already paying for. It just doesn't make any sense to me. So even though I really want to have one with Cell so that I can use it on the go, I'm just not going to use it because I refuse to pay for data. It's way overpriced.
You know, I give up. Sorry.
No, I'm sorry. You know, I wish I could, you know, the data, the Verizon plan is awesome. I mean, it's faster than the Wi-Fi in my house or feels it anyway. And more reliable.
Well, yeah, they want you to get to your cap as fast as possible.
Yeah, right.
The faster you use it, the faster they get to charge you for more.
It is totally useful to have, you know, like, and I do, I say I don't use it much. I actually do use it a bit, you know, not that much. And I never go anywhere near using up the whole plan.
Adam, do you have something you want to add?
I was just going to say, I mean, that's what ultimately caused me to get rid of my unlimited, grandfathered in unlimited data with AT&T was just so I could move to tethering. So I solved it with tethering. All my iPads are Wi-Fi only, and then I just pay the $20 a month to get tethering on top of my AT&T plan, and that's how I get through with my iPads. And that's worked out for me really, really well.
Do you find that you go over your data cap very often?
No, because I was hovering around 2-3 gigabytes and I jumped up to a 5 gig plan. So, you know, I pay for the data, but I very rarely go over. There's once a year when I go camping for like a week and I have no other connection other than that. So I'll go over that month. And I did a week long vacation this year and I'm going over this month very likely. But, you know, it's just another $10.
What are you doing with your phone? To go over in a, you know, 5 gigs in a week.
No. Well, for a month. So it's I'll go from, so like this time around I was in Missouri with no Wi-Fi and I like to watch Netflix at night. So I was still watching Netflix.
It's like modern camping. That is truly modern camping. Yeah. Like, I want to go to the woods, but I still want to watch Netflix before I go to bed.
I take my Apple TV and my 42-inch.
The best of all worlds. You just have your iPhone in your pocket, and yeah.
That's
you're good
hilarious.
To go. Roughing it, you know?
Truly. Truly.
I use my iPhone screen. It's tiny.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I would never even think to do such a thing. I refuse to watch Netflix in my tent on just my iPhone. Let's talk about MacBook Pros. You know, I wish Alex were here because he kind of keeps poo-pooing. He's like, dude, you're the only one excited about MacBook Pros. Not true, Alex. What's that?
I'm excited about MacBook Pros.
Thank you. And I know we have listeners out there who've been tweeting me. We're like, I'm excited for the MacBook Pros too. So let's talk about these, because I just plurked some serious cash down today. And I want to talk about the price drop, quote unquote, on the 15-inch. But let's talk about the 13-inch first. So the 13-inch Haswell dual-core chips now, Intel Iris graphics. The battery life went up from 7 hours to 9 hours. 802.11 AC Wi-Fi Thunderbolt 2. Price drop on this one from $14.99 to $12.99, which is awesome. And they're shipping today, so you can order them now. Although, if you haven't ordered them already, by the time you hear this, you're not getting yours till probably January. Because by the time I ordered mine, it started off as 24 hours. And by the time I hit order, it was 2 to 4 business days before it shipped.
Really?
So, yeah. That's how it was on my 15-inch.
Oh, it's the 15s that are... I'm on the store right now and still saying 24 hours, maybe after do they do the bait and switch where I put it in the cart? And
on the 15, it's saying 24 hours?
Did you
Available ship within 24 hours.
Like the RAM or anything like that?
I got the higher priced model.
Building it.
They have to build it then.
But is that considered a custom build? Because that's one of their selections. You know, it's one of their two selections. I didn't change anything.
Which one did you get?
I got the $25.99 one, so the one with 16 gigabytes of RAM, 500.
Yeah, that's a sweet model. That'd be the one that I'd go in for.
Oh, and you just got it baseline?
Yeah, I didn't change a thing, and it's 2 to 4 business days.
No, it says it's available to ship within 24 hours.
I think Tim flagged me.
Sometimes they'll change it right at the end. Right. Well, and available to ship is different than when delivers on. I don't know if you know that.
What? No, I swear it says...
They'll put them on like a slow boat, you know? So it's like it gets assembled and it ships, it, you know, leaves China in 24 hours, but that doesn't mean it's going to show up on your doorstep.
I think mine's going across on a canoe because apparently I'm not going to get mine for like 6 weeks.
remember they did that with the iPhone 5S's though too, and a bunch of people got them a lot earlier than Apple was telling them.
Maybe
so
they're trying to surprise and delight me.
Them on shipping anymore.
Okay, good. Well, maybe I'll get mine a little earlier than I'd hoped. So the MacBook Pro 13-inch, not a whole lot here. Really awesome update, better battery life, and then of course the price drop, which is awesome. So I think unless you guys have anything to add on that, let's move on to the 15-inch. So this one was curious because they came out. And they announced it's going to have Intel Crystal Well quad core chips, Intel Iris Pro integrated graphics, and then it comes with an NVIDIA GeForce GT750M. This one has up to 8 hours of battery life, up from 7, which is so cool. You're going to be able to make it an extra hour on Wi-Fi.
How much of that is just Mavericks, though?
You're probably right. That probably is just the Mavericks benefit. They didn't shave anything off hardware-wise. Yeah, because Craig Federighi even said just by using Mavericks, if you're browsing the internet, you know, you're going to save an hour in battery life. So maybe that's what this is representing. 802.11 AC, Wi-Fi, Thunderbolt 2. Okay, now here is my gripe. So it was really awesome. They said, oh, and by the way, and they had the thing go poof, right? The price went poof. No longer $2,200. Now it's $1,999. And I was like, yes, because I'm going to get the baseline, so the lower price model, except I'm going to upgrade the RAM. I don't need the extra SSD space, so I'll stick with 256. So I was going to do my order, and I noticed that where the NVIDIA chip was on the higher price model, it had everything described there. On my model, there was just a little dash. And I thought that was peculiar. So I think the way they were essentially able to drop the price from $2,200 to essentially $2,000 is they dropped the graphics card, the discrete graphics card. But,
yeah.
I mean, isn't that what makes a MacBook Pro a MacBook Pro? How can you buy a MacBook Pro, and this bothers me about the 13, and not have the freaking graphics card?
The Iris is a pretty significant change, I think, to the integrated graphics from what I understand. I haven't dove in all the way, but... I think performance-wise, and it addresses a lot of the complaints about integrated graphics in the past. Mm-hmm. So maybe that Apple thought it was more important to get the price point down and that most people, even pros, aren't going to notice that graphics difference. And I actually even wonder, you know, for me, like I have the MacBook Pro, the 2011, and I know that, you know, it has the integrated and the discrete. It'd be curious to see. I don't know if there's even an app. There's probably an app out there that could tell me, you know, how often am I switching over and actually using the NVIDIA versus the integrated? Because I have really no idea. You know, it just works. It just does what I need it to do. So I don't even know how you would know. I guess if you're doing a lot of gaming, I'm not a big heavy gamer.
What about the changes in Mavericks too? You know, where they said the OS is going to allocate more or less memory based upon your graphics needs. I mean, maybe that has an effect too.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. So maybe now the integrated graphics, because before what Lander's talking about, for those who maybe didn't catch that, is the operating system would reserve a certain amount of your memory for its use, and it would always keep that memory reserved. Well, in Mavericks, that memory is variable, so if it doesn't need it, it gives it back to the CPU, so more memory is available to your other applications. So, you know, maybe you're right. Maybe I'm not going to notice a difference. I admit maybe I just have, you know, that condition you get where you're like, I might need that gear, so I should
probably
buy
that.
It. Okay, thank you.
I would do the same thing. I would look on there and go, I want the NVIDIA graphics. I didn't even know. So the old base model, last year's base model didn't have, or the one that just got replaced today, I guess, had a discrete graphics on the baseline model then.
It did, yes, yeah. Because I know this because last night I was practicing adding stuff to my Apple cart. You guys may laugh, but this is a true story. And I was getting ready, and let me tell you why. I was practicing because I'm like, when these things get released, I got to be quick. Because they're going to go fast. I got to know what I want. I got to know where it is. I got to get in and out, get paid, and get moving, you know, because I don't want to be waiting these 2 to 4 business days. Alas, that's what happened to me anyway. So as I was practicing.
I'm going to walk into the Apple Store tomorrow and pick one up and then just call you.
Yeah. Well, gosh, I worked all these deals, so I ended up getting mine more cheaply than I otherwise would have. And I can only do some of this stuff online. Mm-hmm. So, like, for instance, my credit card offers me 5% cash back on all Apple purchases. So, I mean, that's a significant amount when you're spending, you know.
Kind of dough.
Yeah, exactly. So, I'm getting, like, $150 back. So, I had to do it online. Anyway, long story short. So, it was kind of painful plurking down the money for the higher-end model. But the higher-end model is $2,600, but it comes with the extra RAM. So, double the RAM, which you can never replace, right? Because these things are soldered to the motherboard. Same with the storage space. You can never replace that. So, I don't know. The more I think about it, the more I'm not super upset.
Yeah. You're better off. I've been recommending to everybody is with these new Retina models, you know, where all that stuff is soldered in, you got to buy it fully decked out. And if you ever think you're going to do an upgrade, you know, if you're the type of person who puts in more RAM a year from now or 2 years from now, well, guess what? You got to do up front. So you got to pay the cash.
Exactly. Exactly. These are basically appliances now. There is no changing anything. Like, what you get is what you get, which I suppose is good and bad. I'm sure Kyle Weens from iFixit would argue that it's horrible. Yeah. It probably, in a way, makes it so that the computers get to be thinner and more structurally sound. But still, I mean, when you have to buy memory or when you want to buy an SSD, you got to buy it from Apple. There's no other place to buy it from.
Yeah,
unless you're really good at soldering.
You can buy some stuff from like OWC and hard drives if you want to swap that out on old models, but then I don't think you can do anything on the new Mac, the Retina MacBooks.
The Retina ones, yeah.
Yeah, none of the Retina ones.
Yeah, the thing is you know, you have Thunderbolt, of course. I think the thing that Apple really needs to do at this point, though, is make the process of splitting up your home folder work better with the operating system, make it easier for you to move things around, because just the way everything's architected, you know, iPhoto and iMovie and everything, it really, once you start moving libraries around and stuff like that, it's gotten a little bit better, but it's still really kludgy. So if they can just make that a seamless process, that kind of solves this problem. You know, I know a lot of people would just like, if I could just take this part of my home folder and sort of move it over there, or put make it easier to put a user folder on an external drive, you know, or split up your user folder so you kind of have your mobile one and then all your other stuff.
Good point. No, I think that's a great point, because the problem with having so little space is they're giving you all these wonderful tools to save all the photos from your life, to make videos. I mean, you can make videos and store them easier than ever now with all your iOS devices. And then, of course, you have your iTunes library, which they're always trying to sell you more music for. So it's easy to run out of space. And then if you have to move your iTunes library to a remote drive, that can be done. But I would imagine a lot of people, like a lot of Apple's normal customers, would have zero idea how to do that. And then, of course, they wouldn't be able to access their media unless they plugged in that external hard drive or whatever.
Yeah.
It's a huge pain.
Yeah, that's why we have iTunes Match, and that's why we have iTunes in the cloud, and I can get my movies and my TV shows. But even then, you've got to have internet. So you've got to have a network connection. So we're back to that data thing that we were talking about. Yeah.
And now all your networks are...
And downloading a full HD movie is just, you're going to eat up all your bandwidth.
Precisely. And of course, AT&T and Verizon know that. So what do? They move everyone from unlimited plans to metered plans. And they're like, have as much speed as you want. Remember how we used to throttle your speed? No longer. Go as fast as you'd like. We'll just go ahead and charge you for the extra data. That's in the fine print. I'm sorry. I'm on borderline rant. I know that. Forgive me.
I'd actually tune you out. So
that's amazing how easily you can do that now.
Yeah.
Practice these makes things, perfect.
The new Retina MacBook Pros are just sweet. I mean,
I'm thrilled.
They're thinner.
Mm-hmm. Lighter, are they thinner than the previous gen Retinas?
I think so. I'm pretty sure.
Uh-huh.
Didn't they say that? I got to look at my bulleted list.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm getting confused.
Yeah. Well, this is a great time to mention. We're coming off the event, and there's a lot of questions, actually. We were just before the show talking about some different things that Apple maybe didn't make clear. Like, for instance, the shipping date on the iPad mini. When does that come out? We have no idea because Apple didn't tell us. They just said later in November. So, with that said, we might get some of our details, you know, maybe not 100% right. Yeah, I'm thrilled with the MacBook Pros. I got exactly what I wanted. So I'm really happy. The only thing that I wasn't thrilled about was the price. But alas, you're buying an Apple product. What do you expect? Anything else to add here before we move on, guys?
No, but since I was mentioning thin, I meant to mention earlier about the one thing about, and it's not anything of significance, but people probably want to know, the new iPad with Retina or iPad Mini with Retina display is slightly thicker.
You're kidding.
Like
just a hair.
Like 3 millimeters?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because of the Retina display. It's same thing in the full-size iPad when they went from non-Retina to Retina.
I wonder if they're using the IGZO display in the new iPad, which it seems like they are, or the iPad Air, I should say. I wonder if they're using that in the iPad Mini as well. I don't know. That kind of worries me a little bit that it's a little bit thicker because you would think that it wouldn't be.
I think they said that most iPad Mini cases will fit it still, though.
Yeah.
All you need is
a flathead
screwdriver.
Probably need a little more battery, too, to drive those extra pixels and maintain battery life.
Yeah, all you need to get your iPad Mini into your old case is a rolling pin and patience. That's in the asterisk below the Apple product on the website. Okay, so there you have it. Let's talk Mac Pros, perhaps. We finally got a price, and I would like to just point out that I was only $100 off, I think. Didn't we guess prices last episode, Buster?
Did you guess $3,100?
It was $29.99. I think I guessed $28.99.
Why would you guess $28.99?
Yeah. Because I thought they'd come
that's
in.
That's like... Anyway.
Yeah. I thought they'd start at like $34.99 was, I think, the
whoa,
price.
Whoa, you thought they were going to be that high.
With that tech in there, yeah, I thought
yeah,
I did.
Yeah, those processors are expensive. You know?
Yeah, even Phil Schiller said, he's like, if you knew how much these components cost individually, you'd be impressed.
Yeah, but did anyone check out the specs? Isn't that fairly anemic, the base level one?
Yes.
So, I mean, I don't think anyone is realistically going to buy that. I mean, you know, and that's the kind of machine that where you customize everything.
Well, they have two models. They have the three grand model, which comes with a quad core Intel Xeon E5 chip, 3.7 gigahertz, and then they have a 6-core model, which is, and of course there are other differences too. But the 6-core model is $4,000. So, and then yeah, you can. It only comes with 250 gigabytes of SSD storage, which seems pretty low.
Yeah, that
can
was the.
Can you not
was
add more stuff
spec.
To it?
You can. You can add more, and maybe
right.
that's the point.
But
is
yet.
That?
But all the expansion is into external, right? So you are definitely going to add. I mean, it's got 6 Thunderbolt connectors. So people are gonna
only
be
6.
Yeah, only 6. I know, but you know that's going to be like 4 4K TVs and 2 massive Thunderbolt raids, which are going to in turn going to be chained to more raids.
Yeah, because you can do six on a chain, right?
Yeah. But this is the kind of thing where people are going to go, oh man, you know, I need 32 gigs of RAM or more, 64 gigs or whatever the maximum is.
At least.
Yeah, so people are going to be maxing this one out to the max.
Oh, yeah. I mean, these Pro systems, most of the guys I know that buy them, I mean, by the time they get out the door with the display and everything else, they're in the 8 to 10 grand range.
Wow,
and they don't even blink.
Really?
At least. Yeah, but, you know, this is for, like, I mean, someone was saying, I mean, it's a misnomer. It's not a Mac Pro. It's a Final Cut Pro workstation. That's what they should call it.
Yeah, it's an insane machine. It's an insane machine. Available in December. Here's the part that I think is insane. So you know how big those last MacBook Pros were? They were massive, massive, and they were beautiful. But this new one's, I mean, 10 inches tall, 6.6 inches in diameter, and it only weighs 11 pounds. That's incredible for a machine that's this powerful.
Yeah.
And they kept showing it on people's desks and, you know, next to mixing boards and stuff. I think Phil Schiller was getting kind of emotional. Describing how all these creatives are going to create these masterpieces with this thing.
What do you think of the industrial design?
I really like it. I think it's amazing.
But it's so different from everything else they're doing, isn't it? You know, like before, all the Pro products were in metal, in aluminum, and you know that kind of bled into some of the consumer products now too. But to go to the black or the round, it doesn't look like anything they've ever done before.
It looks like Wall-E's girlfriend. That's what it always reminds me of.
It was completely designed around the function of cooling, though, right? And reducing it down to that sort of single fan. I think Schiller even said during the thing that, you know, one of their goals was to get it as quiet as a Mac Mini, and they achieved that. So these things are going to be super, super quiet. You look at the space, and it's all about cooling down the center of that thing.
This cooling technology goes all the way back to the Cube.
Mm-hmm.
And they used it in the G4 Luxolamp iMac, and like you said, the Mac Mini and the flat screen iMacs. I mean, they've been using this variation of the cooling technology for a long time.
So I mean, I think the shape was totally dictated by that in a lot of ways.
It's basically built around a fan, essentially, right? I mean, so that all the air just comes from the bottom and shoots out the top, just like the new Airport Extreme.
Yeah, but I just wonder whether, you know, like before that they've sort of transitioned. I think the transitions between the different design stages have been somewhat gradual or graded, right?
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
This seems like a new design language.
Mm-hmm. I think you're right.
The first product in a new design. I'm just sort of wondering whether it's going to bleed into some of the other stuff they're working on. Maybe the Apple TV will look like this, or
you saying Apple my MacBook TV is going to be a cylinder, like a scroll, and I'll just like
flexible display.
The new Apple iScroll. All the etchings change depending on what you're reading.
And a few years ago, I would have lost it after this thing like crazy. I mean, you know,
you mean in a good way or a bad way?
In a bad way.
Because of the Mac Pro.
Well, look at the shape of it.
You know what I find really, really amusing is, I mean, I hear people say, oh, Apple's, you know, not doing anything that's everything they do is predictable, right? I hear tech journalists complain about this all the time, especially people that cover Apple stuff. And I'm like, are you sure you want to be covering Apple stuff? Because it doesn't seem like you like Apple very much. And this is not a slight to you, Leander. I just think it's interesting. And then they go and do something drastic like this. And now you're like, yeah, I don't like it. I want you to go back to the old way.
No, I'm just wondering out loud.
Oh, okay.
Because I've been looking at the design language and things have been had been very carefully. You know, I guess you know the iMac, right? So the iMac was a big shark. It's like this transparent plastic, space age looking shell. But then they go to the iBook and then the transition to the products that came after that, the white and black polycarbonate computers, you know, they weren't, you could see there was this, you know, I don't know. I mean, maybe they were fairly different from that, that sort of fruity, multicolored era. But this seems to be like, I don't know, the jump wasn't quite as stark, as, you know, dramatic as this. This looks unlike in shape and color. Well, I guess black, you know, black aluminum is something they've done before, but in shape anyway, it looks unlike anything they've done before.
It looks like something that Batman would use to fight crime.
Yeah.
Whereas Phil Schiller calls him not the Dark Knight, the Black Knight. Did you guys catch that during the keynotes?
And that was actually a comedy movie, wasn't it?
The Black Knight? I don't know. I don't know what movie that was.
I think it is. He tries to seduce the king's daughter. It's pretty funny. It's actually genuinely funny.
Wouldn't that be hilarious if that's actually what he was talking about, but they put the wrong image in the keynote? And now he's all mad because he's like, everyone's going to think I'm an idiot. I wasn't even talking about Batman. Anything else to say about the Mac Pro, guys? I'm going to try and get some video guys on a future Cultcast to kind of talk more about this, because none of us really do video. Adam, do you do video?
No.
So it's kind of hard to really know from a practical perspective how excited or how useful this thing is going to be and how excited people are going to be for it.
I think it's going to be, I mean, the guys that I know who are pro guys seem to be generally excited about it.
Oh,
I
they
mean,
are.
You got to remember, too, they've been waiting since 2010 for something.
Exactly.
I mean, there's the classic complaint, you know, that, oh, it doesn't have expansion. I think, you know, time will tell when they get them in their hands and things like that. But it doesn't seem like any of them are holding off on, you know, saying they're gonna buy one. You know, they're not jumping ship for Windows, as near as I can tell.
You know, this is definitely an opinionated computer, right? I mean, Apple saying that way, that old way of doing stuff is not something that we're going to support anymore. This is our vision for the future, and if you agree with our philosophy, then come spend $5,000 or $6,000 or $7,000 and we'll send you a computer.
Yeah, and I'm kind of excited because I think anytime you have a major sort of technology shift like this and a form factor change and stuff like that, I can think of those times when Apple has done other sort of major things, you know, when they went to the new flat iMac designs and stuff like that, you start to see kinds of accessories and things to go along with this. So I think we're going to see some killer Thunderbolt, you know, sort of add-on expansion stuff that takes advantage. You know, I can even imagine things with, you know, with like built-in compartments where the Mac Pro just integrates into, say, a storage expansion chassis or a video expansion chassis, you know, real cleanly and stuff like that. I think it's going to be really interesting.
You hope so, because this thing is going to be a spaghetti monster, isn't it? Out the back.
I think third-party guys, you know, there's a lot of great design guys and a lot of companies out there that will come up with innovative solutions for that, right? And because guys like that are, you know, they're into design and stuff like that. They don't want a spaghetti mess on their desk.
Right.
So I think we'll see some creative products that sort of address that issue. But even out of the box, I mean, you can do a lot with it if you configure it. But it's going to cost you, for sure.
It'll cost you.
That's the one thing, is they don't – none of the custom configs are there. So all we have are these two base sort of models. But, you know, I immediately like, well, they say I can put a terabyte of storage in that. What is that going to cost me? You know, because these are the pricing with 256. What if I want four times that?
Do you have any children?
You know, what if I want 64, 64 gigabytes of memory? You know,
you like, and to then, kidnap children.
The other thing is, they said there's a 6, 8, or 12 cores, and I'm a little confused because we've got a quad core dual GPU, so I'm assuming that's the 8, and then a 6 core dual GPU, and that's the 12, right? Are we expecting that a build to order is actually dual 12 cores? I'm not sure exactly.
Oh, that would be insanity.
Dual GPU, sorry. So you probably can get it with one or two processors. I don't know. It doesn't seem like we even have all the processor configurations there.
As soon as they release that, we've got to go on there and we've got to like spec it out to get the highest spec machine you can get.
I was just trying to do that on their website right now.
They won't let you do it.
It's not even available.
I'll bet it's like 20 to 50K, easy
for the top spec one.
Yeah.
I don't think it'd be 50.
Maybe
20 or 30.
Are you talking about along with like three Thunderbolt display? Oh, that's the other thing we
max out everything.
No 4K Thunderbolt display to go along with this thing.
Yeah, a lot of people were really disappointed by that. Honestly, that doesn't really surprise me. Are you surprised by that?
Only because Apple's making such a big deal, or has been making such a big deal, that this thing will support 4K displays.
Yeah, I think that's a future-proof statement, though.
Plus, the cinema display hasn't been updated in forever. Like, the new iMacs are way thinner than the cinema display. So I just thought Apple would release one by the end of the year that's just a super skinny 4K Retina display, you know?
Maybe they will. Maybe they just don't have time for it.
Not this year. I don't think they have anything else coming out.
Also missing is the Apple TV. I mean, do you guys think it's possible we could see a soft update, a new LCD, new Apple TV in the next week or two?
No. Mm-hmm. No, I think this is the holiday lineup, and you won't see anything until any new product announcements until next year.
A lot of people were bummed that we didn't get a new Apple TV.
What would you put in an Apple TV? I asked this because people say that to me, and I'm like, well, what does the current Apple TV not do that you'd want it to do? Because I don't think they're ready to do an actual, you know, quote unquote
Look,
television.
Adam, I don't care. I just want them to take the old one out, put it in a new Apple TV shell,
just call it
charge me $20 more for it. I just want to buy something from Apple. I don't care what's in the box.
Yeah.
That way I can feel good that I bought my new Apple TV this year.
Exactly. You got my point. Yeah.
Hey, going back to the Mac Pros, did you see the video?
You mean where they're making them?
The manufacturing video, yeah.
Yeah, awesome. I did. Yes.
Yeah, it was a good video. And in fact, the other video, the GoPro one with the iPad out in the field, that one was even better. That was a really great video.
It really was. Apple puts out top-notch videos, don't they?
Yeah.
With the exception of that weird one where they were going to the genius guy. Remember that guy?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Those really strange commercials that we all thought were really weird and Ken Siegel cried about. I mean...
Yeah.
Right, yeah. Well, then you've got the 5S Gold ad with
Goldfinger.
Yeah,
what's Gold Frap? Sorry,
Gold Frap. Yeah, right. It's great. That's a great song too. Really, and totally appropriate for that ad. But the thing I noticed in the Mac Pro was all the robots, you know, and they're talking about how it's assembled here in the States.
Yeah,
bringing manufacturing back, and it's a bit. It's they very cleverly, emphasize that. I mean, that whole video really was about sort of U.S. manufacturing without being too jingoistic about it.
Right.
But it's really actually sort of robot, US.
Yeah, well, it's all robot, and then it doesn't sound like Apple's going to make much of a profit off of the new Mac Pros either.
No, but it's an interesting transition. I mean, if you look at what they've been doing with the unibody, and how they've been buying up computer controlled CNC milling machines in their thousands. I mean, they bought up multi-year supplies, the entire world's supply of CNC machines, especially when they were ramping up for the iPhone 5, the original iPhone 5 back in, when was it, 2009, 2010? So they have, one of these engineers I talked to said they have in China, factories as far as the eye can see, full of these robotic CNC machines.
Wow.
Churning out these products, and more and more of the stages are handled by robots. So the funny thing about all the Foxconn stuff was that they were really talking about the final assembly, which was at the very end of this very complex manufacturing chain, and you're just looking at the last stage, the stuff they do before it goes in the box, where it's very human. The assembly is done by humans because it's cheap and it's easy to reconfigure. And you don't have to make these huge capital investments. I mean, robots are very expensive. But I think this video shows, and the stuff that Foxconn has been saying last year, that as they buy more and more of these machines, more and more of it will become automated. And that's why they're doing it here in the U.S. Because these robots, can be easily reprogrammed. And you buy a robot, and it can put together a 5S or an iPad mini, just with a bit of reprogramming.
That video really was incredible. Sorry, go ahead, Adam.
I was just going to say it'll be interesting when we get the actual number of people who are actually involved in the assembly. I know that during the keynote, I think Schiller said, that in the whole process, it's employing about 2,000 people over 20 different states, to build this thing. But, how many people are actually, I'm assuming that includes some of Apple's suppliers in the U.S. and stuff like that. But at the same time, when they ran that video, the little thing at the end, I have to admit, it got to me where they showed, designed in California, and then they laser on, they show the thing laser.
That was cool, wasn't it?
Assembled in the USA. Yeah. It was pretty powerful. Yeah. It was pretty powerful from a messaging standpoint.
Right, yeah, very, very clever.
It was. I'm getting goosebumps just thinking about it now. I mean, to bring manufacturing back to the U.S. and have Apple really make a concerted effort to do that, I think is cool, because a lot of companies, may not care about that at all, and they just are going to keep producing things in China. And to see that really high tech process all happening, and at the very end, because they have like the video at the beginning where they're like, we only sign products that we've really you know, thought through, and then they have that laser thing, sign the thing on there. It touched my heart in a special place.
What's great is it's starting a trend. I mean, Motorola is doing it with the Moto X, right? They're doing assembly, all that custom assembly here in the U.S. You know, they bought some big plant, and I can't remember the company they bought it from now, but that's happening here. So, you know, it's good to see tech companies, Apple and all the other ones included, actually just starting to move some of that manufacturing back. And hopefully it's something that takes off and more people sort of follow. So somebody kind of had to start. And even if it's small, you know, it's going to be small, and I think a lot of people are going to be critical of it at first. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if it grows, that's a good thing.
Hell yeah!
Yeah.
one interesting wrinkle is that almost all the TVs sold in all the flat screen TVs sold in this country are assembled in Mexico, right across the border.
Mm-hmm.
That's, I mean, almost 100%. Almost none of them come from China. And
I did not know that.
I knew that because I live right next to Mexico. Is like right there. I could probably throw a stone.
Are you in San Diego?
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. I'm actually in North San Diego, but I also worked for when I first got out of college, I worked for a printer, and they had a lot of the Sony contracts for doing like the manuals and stuff that go in. They were a book printer, and so they do all the manuals that went in there, and all that work came from Mexico, you know, from the factories in Mexico.
Okay, gentlemen, I think that wraps up the hardware portion of the keynotes. Shall we talk software now? I think
the big headline here is software.
Everything's free.
Everything's free.
That's a big deal, though. That's a really
huge deal. It is. It's a huge deal.
You know who it's kicking in the teeth?
Microsoft. And they kept making a point. Sorry, yeah. Buster, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say they made a point to put Microsoft's Office suite up there when they talked about making iLife and iWork free, and also Windows. So they were definitely taking aim at Microsoft.
They're showing the product, the Microsoft product, showing the price, and then poof, ours is free.
Might have thought Pages was the Microsoft product with the demo that they gave, but did you notice how awful that thing was? It looked like a really bad Word document with the Word art, you know, 3D. Like, hey, we've got Word art 3D type you can do in Pages now. Yay.
I didn't actually see from the keynote how – was it pretty bad? Was it pretty haggard?
It was just how they kind of did this cheesy demo where they mocked up a supposed album cover.
Oh, yeah. I did see that.
It's supposed to be cheesy on purpose, but at the same time, you're like, I've totally seen Word documents like that. You know, like every cheesy font and you know, also, sort of the Word art thing.
The collaboration features, I mean, that's not something you would – you know,
that's huge.
Yeah, but it's not something you would normally see in the holiday lineup, you know, for consumers. I mean, it's an enterprise feature. It's something that's taken an aim at Microsoft Office, and it's aimed really at, you know, business users. It's not something I would normally have expected to see at a consumer oriented show like this.
Well, Renee Ritchie also commented during the Mac break, and I thought I hadn't really thought about this, but you know, it's also kind of a big dig at Google and Google Docs, especially that collaborative stuff.
Yeah, right.
I think more so that than Microsoft Office. Office is a consumer product, but not really. It's so powerful. It does so many more things than Pages does. Keynote's actually great, but then the iWork suite does in general. I don't think that people are going to think, oh, should I use the iWork suite or should I use Office? If you're using Office, generally it's because you've been using it forever and you just want to use it, or you have a need to use it, like a real business need. I think businesses are probably still going to stick with Office. Maybe the startups would go the iWork route because those applications are not as powerful. I think it's definitely more of a stab at the Google online offering with the collaboration of doing documents and stuff
online. That's smaller companies and people working at home. I mean, that's a huge thing. It extends beyond consumers, but you know, there's also a lot of consumers that are doing that sort of work, especially students and stuff like that.
That's a great point. Yeah.
The even bigger thing along with the collaboration, the thing that goes hand in hand with it, was saying, hey, we have feature parity across iWork between the web, the desktop, and iOS. And the web one, I mean, that's huge. They're claiming full feature parity. I want to see how that works.
It kind of sounds like you don't believe it.
Well, I'm curious. Did they take stuff out of the desktop one, or did we get all the desktop features on the iPad? Because, I mean, to date, it's been, you know, you want to take your Pages document over to your iOS device, you've got to give up a bunch of stuff. You've got to give up fonts. You've got to give up things. So you know, how did they achieve it? Did they achieve it by truly expanding the functionality of the iOS and web versions to match the desktop version, or did they go the other way around? And I have a feeling it might fall somewhere in the middle. I think if we dig in, there might be some things that they pulled out.
I bet you that had to be the case. I mean, they totally rewrote the iWork suite from the ground up, correct? So, I mean, there's no way. This is going to be probably similar to when they did Aperture or when they did Final Cut Pro X.
Right.
They probably just had to pull stuff out.
There's
and
some
start
slashing at, that I yeah. think we're going to start hearing about where, hey, wait, this feature's gone and that feature's gone.
Hey,
it's probably some of those that a lot of people just didn't really use, but there's going to be a segment of people that are like, hey, that was the feature I really needed.
Yes, precisely. Precisely. And Apple will be like, we'll add it back in later. So Mavericks now shipping, also free, which I think is incredible. It's Microsoft huge. Makes a lot of money charging for this, for their software. I mean, it's their bread and butter. And here you have Apple saying, if you buy one of our computers, and in this case, you could even have a Mac product from, I think, all the way back in 2007. And if
Snow
you're
Leopard.
Running Snow Leopard, then you can upgrade for free. And I think this is really incredible. I was ready to throw down my $20, but
right.
even better that I don't have to. And it puts everyone on the same platform. And I love, I think it was Tim Cook that said this, that every year, you know, you get to refresh your Mac. Actually, it was Craig Federighi that said mm-hmm. this. So they've retooled their development process. They could put out these versions digitally every year. And, you know, it's just like iOS. People get really excited for it because you get new features and stuff. And now it seems like you're going to get a free iOS or a free OS for your Mac every year. And you're going to get extra features and stuff. And that's really cool. And what other manufacturer gives you that?
I know, yeah. And what machine? It supported some really old machines, too. Didn't it go back to some of the 2007 iMacs?
Yep.
Or even earlier?
I believe so, yeah.
Yep. Yeah, pretty much if you can run, the rule is if you can run Mountain Lion, then your system will run Mavericks. And I think you have to have a 64-bit Intel and a few other things and a more modern GPU. But, I mean, it goes back pretty far. And the killer thing is especially with the Mavericks release, is that how it's architected, you know, older machines are actually going to get benefits like longer battery life and better performance with an OS update, which is like, that's killer.
That's, yeah, generally not how it works, yeah. Right? I installed iOS 7 on my iPad 3, and that thing, it burns through the battery now, not to mention how lurchy it is all the time.
Well, now, I say that saying that that's what Apple's claiming. We're going to have some people running, you know, a lot of people running Mavericks. But I don't think we've heard anything from the developers otherwise, although developer systems, I would imagine, are probably a little more on the modern side. And dependent on the age of your system, it's probably going to affect how much of that benefit you get. But, you know, systems that are 1, 2, 3 years old probably will see some nice, you know, some nice bumps from the underlying technology, just how it's managing things like CPU cycles and stuff like that.
By the way, if you're still running a computer from 2007, I tip my hat to you. That's an old machine. That's about to be 7 years old.
I'm running an old Mac Mini. I think it's one of the original. It's a Core Duo system.
Wow.
Not even a Core 2 Duo.
From what year?
I can't get it past Snow Leopard. I don't even remember. It's used as my, you know, I use it as a file server. It's a backup machine. It does a number of different things, a print server, stuff like that. So,
you know, we all have those groups of friends who have computers that are just really old, and sometimes they surprise you and you'll go over to their house and they're using one of those original, I don't even know what Mac is called. It's the one with the round base and it has the stem and then it has the screen that moves around.
That's the G4 iMac that Leander was talking about earlier.
Gotcha. I have a friend that has that. And I'm like, is that like a house fixture that you're just using to be retro, or do you actually compute on that machine?
Man, that's nothing. I heard about a psychiatrist in New York who's still running an Apple II. Wow.
What?
Yeah. Yep. He's still running. I'm trying to find it because I've got to do a story about him.
But what could he possibly do with that?
He had this custom built you know, psychiatry practice software, and you know, that's not exactly, you know, up there on the top 10 best-selling lists in the Mac App Store.
Yeah.
This stuff's not easy to get. So it was like, I think it was a HyperCard stack. No, it couldn't have been HyperCard because that came with a Mac, but some, you know, some primitive program, you know, some very simple but effective software he used to, for managing his practice, just for billing mostly, I think.
Jeez.
My Mac Mini is early 2006 model.
Wow. Well, I needed to go get my hat. I don't have it here, but now I feel like a big jerk. iWork is also free now if you buy a Mac, and apparently if you buy an iOS device. Adam, I know we were talking before the show.
Yeah, I was trying to get some clarification because I'm one of those guys who, you know, bought iWork on DVD. So I have the actual physical media, and I was kind of excited. And I know that Apple said in the keynote, you know, with the purchase of a new Mac, but I figured, you know, I paid for it. You know, am I going to get the upgrade? And I looked on there and I didn't see it come up and I didn't think anything of it. I thought, oh, okay, well, you know, Apple's pretty clear. I need to buy a new Mac and then I'll get the free new version. And so I'm okay if I have to pay $20 for each of the iWork apps. So Keynote, Pages, whatever. I'm like, okay, so $60. It's like a $60 upgrade to go from 4 to 5. I think the new versions are version 5. But then I started hearing, and I think Leander, you said you kind of confirmed this, that you had bought it through the Mac App Store and you are seeing the updates.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, they're here. Yeah, they went right here.
Yeah. And so just before we got on this call, because a couple people tweeted to me, they're like, I don't see the updates. I got it on DVD. Why don't I see it? And I'm like, I don't think you get that. And then somebody sent me to Apple's press release, which the wording on the press release is a little confusing because it says pricing, underpricing and availability. It says iWork and iLife for Mac come free with every new Mac purchase. Okay, that's fine. Existing users running Mavericks can update their apps for free on the Mac App Store. So to me, that makes it sound like, well, if I upgrade to Mavericks,
which is free,
then it will see my copies of the iWork apps and let me upgrade for free. And so I called I went to the Apple support, you know, store support or Mac support and called them up, and the guy's like, yeah, we've been getting a lot of people asking about that. And the way that it's been explained to us, or we understand it at the moment, is that, you know, you have to have bought a machine running Mavericks. And it's like, well, that would be the machines they just announced today, because Mavericks just came out today. So as far as I know, you know, Macs shipping from today forward would include Mavericks. And of course you're going to get that because you're buying a new Mac. So that sort of goes back and matches what Apple had said during the keynote. But then right at the end of the call, he said, but, you know, a lot of people have been calling about this. If I were you, nudge, nudge, what I would do is wait a day or two and see if something comes out, because there might be more information forthcoming. And then was it you, Buster, who said one of the other sites was kind of reporting a similar thing? That
The Loop reported like a similar thing, and that Apple's working on fixing that bug, quote unquote.
So the advice would be at this point, if you are one of those people who bought iWork on DVD, don't rush out and, you know, buy it on the Mac App Store quite yet. Wait a couple days and see if Apple makes some sort of system available for you to get the updates for free. If not, just resolve yourself. You know, they may just decide, nope, you had to buy it on the Mac App Store because it's tied into that whole ecosystem and you might have to rebuy it.
But just go into the Apple Store and start screaming like that lady in that video.
Yeah,
that will get you what you want. Trust me. Make sure you film it, though.
This free. But I mean, in the keynote, they were very careful to say free when you buy a new Mac. So
right.
I haven't bought a new Mac since, you know, 2011, so, or 2010, I think. So
that used to be me. That used to be me. But now I plucked down my money and I'm getting a brand new one. I'm so excited.
See, I said this, I really want one of those new MacBook Pros, you know, because I love how thin and light the Retina is. And I have a MacBook Air that I like, but I really need the 15-inch, you know, screen for the work that I do and stuff. Like, I prefer it.
Well, sounds like you need a new one, Adam. I think
but
you should do it.
I have a 2011 Thunderbolt model, and it runs awesome. And
yeah, but here's the thing about the 2011. It's 2 years old now.
It runs great. That's just the thing. I can't look at it and go. So I'm like, wouldn't it be horrible if it fell off the desk?
Well, hey, guys, I can tell from Leander's messages to me and the undercurrent here that we should probably go ahead and wrap it up. I know that we gleaned over iLife, but here's the thing. Everything just came out. And here's the great news. We're going to have more shows. We have one more show coming up this week. And of course, we have an eternity of cult cast because we'll be doing this until we die to cover all this great stuff. And Adam, when's your show coming out?
Hopefully tonight, early tomorrow. Okay. But you never know. I
really late tonight.
Stuff. I tend to try and I get a lot of people who ask me questions because everybody, you know, a lot of people have already gone out and they know all the specs, you know, they exactly. know the bullet points. But what, you know, I think you like to do and I like to do as well is kind of also drill in and sort of get to some of the more minute information. And that takes a couple of days for the sites to parse through and for people to figure out things like, you know, just what we were talking about.
Exactly.
Do I get free updates if I bought it? I work on DVD.
Precisely.
I don't know. I got to ask some people. I got to call around. I got to figure this stuff out. So
precisely. Yeah. It's going to take a little while to go. I mean, this just was a huge dump. So yep. much stuff. I mean, I'm not complaining, but Tim Cook just came on stage with a big old trash can and just dumped it out on stage.
One last thing though. What did you think about the general feel, the general tone of the whole thing?
That's a great question. It seemed a little weird, right?
It did
especially
feel somewhat
at first.
Weird.
At first, it was a little awkward. It was like almost like Tim Cook was stumbling a little bit. I think Craig Federighi,
for sure.
Yeah, it stumbled a little bit. And so there were some awkward moments that didn't seem as polished. Some of the I'm going to call them skits, you know, again, when they were doing the whole. And I got that it was about the collaboration, but, you know, when they were doing the album cover, it was a little, it ran a little long and was a little weird, but mm-hmm. you know, yeah, overall, I think it was pretty good toward the end.
Well, Phil Schiller used to be, you know, he's I think the natural comedian, and mm-hmm. used to be he just seemed like low energy and like he wasn't very enthusiastic, and he would say he was excited, but my God, he did not look excited.
I think they were probably all just tired. I mean, like
I think they overpractice it. I think we're looking at guys who have gone through this time after time, you know, to get their lines exactly right, and they've gone over it so much that they've bled all the life from it.
I don't know. Craig Federighi seemed to have
he
some singers.
Chipper.
He's
the best one. He's the most natural performer. But
maybe that's Phil Schiller's deal. He's like, I used to be the funny one, but now Craig's here. Craig keeps making all those damn hair jokes, and no one thinks my jokes are funny anymore.
Honestly,
maybe that's it. They have like a jealousy thing going on.
Sounds about right.
Okay, well, let's go ahead and wrap it up. Keep in mind, we have another cult cast coming to you guys this Thursday. So we'll be talking about more of this stuff, I'm sure, and then other Apple stories from this week. So keep an ear out for that. And then, of course, the MattCast either tonight or tomorrow. So thanks for tuning in for this special episode. Hey, Adam, if people wanted to find out about you on Twitter, mm-hmm. perhaps, where would they go do that?
I'm at MattCast. And can I give – I need to give one quick other plug for something because I
sure.
didn't do it on on Twitter. I also do a podcast with Jeff Gamet and a guy named Michael Johnson called We Have Communicators. It's more iOS focused.
Mm-hmm.
But Michael has been working on, and I've been helping him out a little bit. I'm a web developer with a new sort of app discovery site. So it's a social sort of app thing where you can go on, you can put your iOS apps in there. As a matter of fact, it'll sweep through your iTunes account and pull in your apps, and then you can rate and comment and follow people's apps, and you can see what I'm buying. I can see what you're buying. Hey, do you like it? Do you not? And so it's a really great way to go discover apps socially. It was kind of the idea was this extension of the way most of us find out about apps is you ask your buddy, right? Or you see on his phone, hey, what's that app about? Do you like it? Do you not like it?
Mm-hmm.
That sort of thing. So he tried to recreate that. It's called Appler. APPLR. Yeah, and Appler, APPLR, and it's at getappler.com, and you can sign up for free. It launched a few months ago, and we're trying to get more people on there. So check it out. I think he's done a really great job with it, and it was just re-optimized for iOS devices. So
awesome.
It's fully like web-optimized.
Cool.
So check it out.
And if you want to follow Adam on Twitter, that's MacCast. I just want to make sure I spell
C's.
It. Two C's. And of course, if you want to follow the Cultcast crew, we would love that. We're on Twitter too. Leander's L. Caney, Buster's BST3R. I'm at Airfon. And of course, if you want to learn more about all the great stuff announced today, make sure you're following Cult Mac on Twitter. This has been the Cultcast, the best 30 minutes of Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. New episodes of the Cultcast come out every Thursday night. We'll see you again this Thursday night. I want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll see you guys next time Thursday.
In a couple days.
Just not even like a couple days.